Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. All right, we're sitting here with Diane Dittner. This is our round two, the second episode. And there was so much stuff that happened in the first episode. We made it up to about 1981, which is, what, 39 years ago?
Yes. 40 That's years. Hard to believe.
So there's so much more to talk about. But the first thing, we actually forgot to talk about the origin of the name Diane and the Country Cavaliers, and then it evolved into the just the Cavaliers. So maybe Diane could talk about that.
Yes. A friend of mine, a very good friend from the Bell, Sue Hahn at that time, but now Sue Diemert, I had started my band back then, and I said, what will I call it? So we got the dictionary out. She looked at Cavaliers, and that's men protecting a woman, more or less,
okay.
Like the meaning.
I didn't know.
So she said, wouldn't the Cavaliers be good? And what about the Country Cavaliers? And I said, you know, that's a good idea. And that's how it started. And she even did, she drew a picture of me for one of my books. It's in the very front of one of my,
okay.
And she was a very good friend and did a lot for me. And she really was a supporter of the music and
great.
Everything. So she would be one that went to Mary Hill and tried to get in whatever. So,
oh, okay. That's
yeah.
neat. And then eventually it became the just the Cavaliers. Is that just because you're trying to expand into other music? Or
yes, and I can't even remember what year I changed it, but we were doing weddings and all that, and when you told them you were country, they wanted a little bit of rock and roll, which we did a bit of 50s, 60s light rock. We weren't big into rock, but they wanted to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
So we took the country out of it so that we could just expand our repertoire into a bit of rock. So that's why we changed it.
And with having everybody singing in the band too, like you're able
that's
to do
right.
Beach Boys, like other things that weren't, were still popular,
yes,
but they weren't necessarily country then too.
And Robert did a lot of did CCR, that sort of thing.
Okay.
He did a lot of that, and so I looked at some songs today and it blew my mind what we were doing, some of them, and they were rock songs. But yeah, we had to mix it up because people started liking the rock.
Yeah. And one neat thing is, like, so Diane's pulled out old set lists way back from the 80s. She's still doing some of the songs, if you can tell, the timeless, timeless
some
certain songs.
Classic country stays forever, right?
Oh, for sure. No, it's really neat to see. So tell you what, we didn't talk about the bus trip. So right around when you were doing all the barn dances and the talent shows and everything, you were also making the trip down to Nashville and I think Wheeling, West Virginia. And you mentioned some other places you went with Hoppy. And
yes, and I did, like, I did right up till 1992. I did a couple on my own that I forgot I even did. We did quite a few bus trips. I believe they started in the very early 70s, if not the late 60s, and went right through. And we'd get, Hop would advertise it, and we had no problem filling the bus, always full. And I remember one occasion where some of the radio personalities, like Dan Fisher and his wife Gwen and a couple others, went on the trip. And we ordered the buses because we had enough to fill two 42-passenger buses and one 32. So three of them were leaving out of the Holiday Inn.
Yep.
They were Lishman buses at that time. We got to the Holiday Inn, and he had ordered two 32-passenger and one 42.
Oh, wow.
So we had way too many people. And, of course, nobody's going to back out. They paid their money. They want to go.
Yep.
So we got a bunch of folding chairs and put them in the aisle. Some people sat on those. They didn't care. They wanted to go. It didn't matter if they were on a folding chair. They were probably standing most of the time anyway. So that was one occasion I remember.
Yeah.
And we panicked, like, where are we going to get another bus?
And I'm assuming you're standing at the front of this bus with your guitar and singing? Or?
Yeah, we did crazy things. We had a mask, old lady's mask, and an old man's mask. And I would put them on, and we wouldn't get away with that now, but we'd be waving out at the truck drivers and everything, and they'd be looking. it was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
We just did a lot of, and we did a gong show. Every trip we had a gong show.
Yep.
And everybody participated, or most of them on the trip participated, and we had a lot of fun with them. They were very, very, made it made the trip.
Oh, yeah. And
plus
you get to
them.
Know all the people on the trip with
Oh,
them.
Yes. And people still come up to me and say, I went on one of your bus trips and whatever year, and I'm going, oh, okay, like I don't remember everybody. Okay. But even my, right from the beginning, it had to be in the early 70s because Ken Bowles, my first bass and fiddle player, he brought his fiddle along and we played on the bus there and back, and then occasion to Branson where Chris brought her keyboard and we played there and back. Wow, okay. And a lot of times it was just me, which and somebody bring a harmonica. We always had almost a full band on the bus all the time.
And this is like a Friday morning until Monday night, I think, right? Because it was a long weekend or something?
That's right. We leave like 6-7 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
drive straight through to Nashville. Well, we'd stop for a meal and that, but we'd get there, and then it was all planned. You'd have a day when you got there, of course, I think just more rest, but on the Saturday, the Grand Ole Opry. On Sunday, we'd go to Opryland, spend the whole day there.
Yeah.
And it was an amusement park, too. So you could take rides, log rides, and, get sprayed with water. It was all good. And they had various stations where you could go and see the entertainers.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of stars there.
Well, just from looking at your photo album, like you met Keith Whitley, which I think would be unbelievable. Like some of the other, George Strait and people like that that you met.
And that was Fanfare. Fanfare in 1988.
Wow.
And the whole list of people that were there, it's amazing how many were Holly Dunn, Marty Haggard at that time, and a bunch, just John Anderson, the Desert Rose Band, Patti Loveless. So there was so many stars at Fanfare.
Wow. Okay.
And we had a good time there as well.
Yeah.
You'll have to ask Diane about the time that Waylon Jennings gave her heck. That's a good story. I wasn't there for that one.
Well, we went to a recording studio, and we had a tour, and his wife, Jessie Coulter, was there making the song. She was recording I'm Not Lisa.
Okay.
So I was looking in the window at her, and he came out of the door, and he looked at me, and he said, "You're the woman that cursed me." And I thought, I haven't even met you, but I knew it was Waylon Jennings, and I just looked. I said, "You must have me mistaken for maybe I have a twin in Nashville. I don't know." They say you have nine people that look like you.
And you actually made a little recording in Nashville with Chris and with her sister, I think?
Yeah, Kathy and Chris and I sang a lot, and we did three recordings.
Wow, okay.
And they were at the Barbara Mandrell studio. You could just walk in and do a recording. It didn't cost us anything. I think we paid maybe something for the tape. That was it. But that was fun.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
We went that day to the Barbara Mandrell studio and did a recording, three-part harmony of Rocky Top. My sister's a good singer too, and it just blended all well together. So we were having a good time in Nashville and got on a trolley, and Kathy and Diane and I were on the back of the trolley, and we were singing. I believe we were singing Sentimental Old You, or maybe it was Rocky Top again. And we're going in downtown Nashville, and of course the trolley had a stop. We look to our right, and who's getting out of a car but Vince Gill? Yeah, Vince Gill. He heard us, I'm sure, and probably thought, what the heck? Sign him up. But that didn't happen.
We said I was on a rocky top down in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on rocky top. Ain't no telephone bills. Once I had a girl on rocky top, out there the other half cat. Wild as a mink, but sweet as soda pop, and I still dream about that. Rocky top, you'll always be home, sweet home.
vanavond met Bonita van der Pas van Brabant, Nederlands. Je bent aan luisteren 102.7 van CKMS Radio Waterloo. Goedemiddag.
All right, we're back. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ. I'm Steve Todd, and let's continue our interview.
Like, it was amazing. Like, Hank Lachlan, we met him, and he was there. It was, as I said, it's too bad that it closed up. I guess because it wasn't making a living, I don't know, with the people who would come and visit there. But they eventually closed up, and it's too bad because that was a really big attraction.
Oh, yeah. And just for yourself, just to help organize all this stuff with so many local people, that's great.
Yeah. And I think, too, Fanfare probably cut into Opryland because people would come to Fanfare and see all the people that you would walk around and see in Opryland. So that might have been one of the...
Probably,
I would think.
But anyway, it's nice that you did all the stuff for so many local people just to get them to go down there and...
Oh, that was... It was quite a job to organize everybody. And then you'd stop and they'd go shopping and some wouldn't come back on the bus. And one lady, she called herself Stella by Starlight. And she was always late coming back to the bus, and we said, so some people would get off and look for her, then they'd be lost, and then, so it was a big vicious circle.
Yeah.
But she said, I'm going to be late for my own funeral. And guess what? She was. She was out west visiting her son, and she passed away out there. She missed the plane back. I went to visitation. She wasn't back yet.
Oh, okay.
But I laughed when she said that.
So I still can't believe it. So you guys left Friday morning. That Nashville's, 10 hours or something, at least on a bus.
Yes.
And then you're just probably awake the whole time for 3 days. And then you
somehow you're all, hyped up.
And then you get back, and then somehow you show up for work on Tuesday morning.
It was pretty rough sometimes when we come back, but the big thing, the bus driver was always kicking us off. He said, I got to go to work tomorrow. You get off the bus.
Wow.
So, because he had to do the cleanup, and as I said, we partied there and back, and God bless the people. I mean, if they're still living, that went along, because it was very intense with, late hours and early mornings.
Here's another song recorded in Nashville at the Barbara Mandrell Studio. This one's called Sentimental Old You.
Who sends me flowers for no reason at all? Who saves each card I've ever sent? Everything about the day we met. If you're wondering who, sentimental old you, sentimental old you, I love you just the way you are. Sentimental old you, I need you like the nighttime needs. Just the way you are, sentimental old you, I need
So Diane, I know your band backed up many well-known performers over the years. Could you talk about that a bit? You mentioned the Canadian country singer Wilf Carter.
Wilf Carter was one of the first ones. We didn't know any of what he did. This was all off the cuff when it come to playing and backing them up. We didn't know a lot of their songs.
Yeah.
The one that Hop mentioned was Love Not Round My Lariat, and I thought, pardon? I never knew about the song, but there were many more. But we did okay. Carlin Pearl Butler, that was another one, and Claude King in New Hamburg. He packed the place, and Wolverton Mountain.
Okay, so these are just guys that are just traveling through Southern Ontario, and they're making a stop for a...
No, we called them.
Oh, okay, you did. Okay.
Hop called them and said, can you play? And at Elmira, we played with Wilf Carter at the fairgrounds.
Yep.
And Carlin Pearl Butler was at Elmira at the fairgrounds. And Claude King was at New Hamburg. And then, of course, we fronted the Merle Haggard Show. That was way back in the late 60s.
And that would've been amazing, wow.
Yeah, and then George Jones and Tammy Wynette were on in 1970 because she was pregnant with Georgette. And I was standing backstage talking to her, but not even thinking I should maybe ask her for her autograph, but I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't want to bother her. Yep. So anyway, and then Kitty Wells, of course, had a show at KCI in the 70s. Our band has played for such things as the opening of the Black Walnut. The Black Walnut? Or Inn on the Black Walnut? Was it? Well, it's Valhalla Inn after, and now it's the Delta, the one down in the corner.
Yep.
We played there.
Okay. When it first started or something?
Yes.
Okay.
When they changed it to the Black Walnut or whatever it was. And we played Guelph at Riverside Park and St. George's Square, which I forgot about. Then there was Tavistock Fair, COE.
Okay. Yeah.
I was doing Captain and Tennille songs then.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, years ago, they would have a homecoming. And there was one year we must have played five or six of them.
Yeah.
Most of them up toward the Hanover area in that area.
There's always stuff in Malvern and Walkerton. And
we played about five or six of them in one year. And then I mentioned that I did a single act, which I don't know how I did that. But anyway, it was for Fourwell Super Variety Stores. I did them for, I bet you I did their show or their Christmas parties for like probably about seven, eight years.
Well, I think at one point you said you did at least 100 shows a year, right?
Yes. Wow. That's when we were playing the, in Guelph, we were playing the right beside the Choo Choo Stop, Harry's Place.
Okay.
So we'd be playing three nights a week, and we might do the odd bar around for three nights.
And then dances and weddings. And
else. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was nothing to have 100 bookings. But that was at talent shows, too, right? So, yeah, it was, I said we were young. It wasn't hard to.
Okay.
I mean, that's why I just can't believe how fast it's gone. I mean, I should write a song 17 to 70 because it's gone so fast.
That's crazy. Well, you were saying how many people will come up to you and say, you played my wedding 40 years ago and more. Like I know my neighbor, I think it's up to 46 or 47 years ago or something like that.
And I think there was a competition at the Blue Moon one night because one couple come up and said, you played for my wedding in 1972. And the lady with her said, you played mine in 71. Then some guy back at the table said, you played mine 50 years ago. And then I started thinking how old I was.
Wow.
I was thinking, are you kidding me, 50 years? But no, it's possible I was.
Sure.
I had a couple drive by the Blue Moon. I played for their wedding, and that was when I played for their wedding 47 or more years ago. And she said, that can't be the same lady that played for our wedding. So her son said, well, why don't you go back to the dance and find out? So they did.
Yeah.
And sure, they were from Mildmay.
Oh, really?
They come back, and they said, yes, you played for our wedding. It was almost 50 years ago.
Wow, okay.
And and I was still living. That probably amazed them.
Well, anyway. Good for you, though. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is gratifying to know that I did play back then, and I hope I listened to some of the music, and I had some really good band members. I think of the talent shows and that, and I think these guys were great because not everybody could just do what they did, and it sounded good.
Just jump in.
My head stays sort of foggy 'cause you're
Maybe someday you're gonna hurt me. I've been hurt in love before. Only God will know, and time alone will tell. But in the meantime, I'll keep loving you with all my heart and soul, and pray God to let it last if it's His will. Don't be angry with me, darling, if I fail to understand all your little whims and wishes all the time. Just remember that I'm dumb, I guess, like any foolish man, and my head stays sore for because you're mine. And my head stays sore for because you're mine.
So, and we started in Seaforth at a wedding. Yeah. That's how we got started. Yeah. And came to Kitchener and played for an anniversary, and then that was at Barclay Tavern, which is the bus stop now. And the bus drivers were there, and they hired us for the Christmas party. Then it just kept muddled.
That's great. Good, yeah, for you.
We've played the senior homes. Central Park Lodge we've played since, as I said, it had to be in the 70s when One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest came out, because that's when that was the first time we played. Oh, my. Yeah, it was quite an experience. Anyway, that is now Forest Heights Long-Term Care.
Yep.
And so I've been playing there over 35 years. I've been playing in probably Sunnyside probably over 20 years.
Yep.
Because when they built the new, we were there. We played Columbia Forest as well. And I do Shadow Gardens once a year for the Strawberry Social, which all of this got
That's
canceled
great.
Because of COVID.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah.
I feel so horrible for the people that don't, like, they're
I do too, I think
being taken care of, but they don't have the extracurricular stuff like the music and things.
That's what I'm thinking, so, how hard that must be on them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then we did Trinity Village too, and I did a couple down in St. Andrews in Cambridge.
Yeah. Sunnyside, for example, it's a pub night, so people are actually having a drink and maybe some chips or something, and the families are there, and it's a big event. Like, they probably really look forward to seeing the band, and a few can dance and everything.
Oh yeah, because they come out as soon as we get there and watch us set up. I mean, this is entertainment for them for a couple hours a night. And I just thought about that last night. I thought how sad it must be for them.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, I'd love to go in, but I respect the fact that we could get sick or they could be sick, so we can't do that. But I just thought about all the people we've. When you play that long at a place like Sunnyside and Forest Heights especially, you get to know them. You don't know if they got lost with COVID or what has happened. And I started thinking about it, and I thought, this is really, really not good. And I don't know how they're going to ever bring it back. I guess we could stand outside the window, but that isn't always possible either. And they probably would like if one person would just come and entertain, but I think also then they can't get together as a group and watch either, right?
They can't put everybody all in one. Because back when we were doing it, families were there, grandkids were running around. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly. Because at least even at Sunnyside, there would be at least 100 and more in the room.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, you're right. I don't know how they're going to do that.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a long time before we'll be able to get back and do that sort of thing.
So you started doing these all the way back with Poppy as well. Did he get you involved with the whole seniors' homes? Or?
Yes. Well, see, that was the first one we played with Central Park Lodge.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he got us involved with it, but he must have known one of the people there. He booked us in. That was the first home. My drummer, when he was loading up the equipment, accidentally, I don't know if he accidentally hit the fire alarm, but we had everybody there. We had a lot of exciting things happen.
Yeah.
And it was an exciting, I could write a book on just playing there.
And Hoppy would have been sort of an animated figure too, so he'd probably be moving around and...
Yeah, and he sang and he danced with them. And
he was
not afraid to get up and dance with these people. He often did that, and then he'd come up and sing a song, but they knew him from the radio.
Yeah, for sure.
And some of these people that are in there came to our dances. Like, this is the thing that I'm finding. I'm seeing people that used to come out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, like, it blows me away. I say, well, you're a lucky lady. You're up here singing to these people, and they were dancing to us when we were playing at halls and everything.
That's
so
great.
This is all good. And a lot of volunteers too that come out. And I come across a video last night on Forest Heights Long-Term Care, and it was their Halloween party last year, And Gary Moser helped us with that one.
Okay.
I couldn't believe, you know, the people in there, and I thought, no, are they still living? How do I know? I don't know. And that's not with the Privacy Act, I'll never find out.
Yeah, because they had quite...
Only if I ever went there. Yeah.
Hi friends, Kevy Canuck here from Kitchener, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
I know you did Oktoberfest for 20 plus years?
20 plus years at the KW Naval Club.
Yep.
And of course we were in the parade too. Yeah, we did Oktoberfest there for quite a number of years, and it was always on the Thanksgiving Sunday that they'd have it. But that's, as I said, that's over 20 years ago that we started there. And we only quit there a couple years back. But we, as I said, we turned into the Umpqua band when we had to.
Oh, it's perfect. And then I know, like, well, just from playing with you, you'll start off with the dirndl and you'll...
Oh, yeah, same, yeah, you too.
Yeah, you had all the decorations. And then with people like Elaine or Chris, like the accordion sounds in there.
On the key.
Like, it's a full Oktoberfest band, which is pretty cool.
That's right. You didn't wear the dirndl, you just wore the lederhosen.
But anyway, it's fun.
It was a different. You look forward to that every year. It was just another thing added to your repertoire of music, and you could change to do that sort of thing.
The neat thing about yourself playing the Oktoberfest too, like some of those, whether it's Queensmount or some of the bigger festivals, were just crazy, and they're so busy.
Yes.
Where when you were playing it, it was you mix in with the older country, and
it was a family.
Way more family. Good food. Yeah. You can dance, and you weren't getting pushed around or beer spilt on you. And
no,
it was just a nice environment.
And I grew up with that kind of music because my grandfather played the accordion, and I have all his 78 records. Where
really? Okay.
Life in the Finland Woods and all the waltzes, the blue skirt waltz, and everything. Yeah. I grew up, and so did Elaine. And that's why she knew, and Chris too. They all knew that music. It's all chemistry with a band. If you got the chemistry, you're all professionals. it's not hard to play. You know, and that's what it takes. It's
for sure.
Good chemistry.
And you were in the Oktoberfest parade. Did you have like the full band was playing then?
Or? Well, we just had the trailer. We took the lid off the trailer and stood in the trailer. The lid came off.
Oh, okay.
So we were like, did the Queen's Wave, and we weren't playing.
But you were all playing?
We didn't play, no.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we just were in the parade, but we knew so many people, and a lot of my Bell friends, and I remember my boss yelling at me, you know, like he thought this was so cool. We had a great big sign, Diana and the Country Cavaliers, at that time, so we put it across the front of my big Pontiac, and we got as far as Central Meat Market, and the car started steaming up, so we had to stop it.
Oh, just let it cool.
Well, we had to go in there and take a rest because it then fall into the parade later.
Oh,
that was kind of funny, actually.
Yeah. Well,
no, it was good. It was. Yep. We enjoyed that too.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
I think when we did it a couple times, but it was more advertising for the talent shows, right?
Yeah, that's good.
So the TV station, they would promote us being in the parade. So that was all good. The first band I had was just my brother and my cousin and myself, which that was only for a short while. Then we added a fiddle player, Donnie Young. We got into the talent show, so then I had Dad, the lead player, so then I added a lead player and a drummer. I didn't always have a drummer because I played the rhythm on the guitar, right?
Yeah.
And so that's how we started out. We started with them, and then I'd have a band for about maybe 10 years, and then, of course, as you say, their interests change.
Yeah, everything.
The one guy, his family had a band.
Yeah.
And Johnny Givens had a band with his family.
Okay, yeah.
So they left, then I replaced them. But basically, I had good band members, and I never had a problem. They stay for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, you think about it, how many years we've been playing, and of course, the band, you're with us and that. Now we've been together for how long? Really?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I don't even know how many years it is because I'm looking at these old photos.
Well, Elaine quit after 15 years.
Yeah.
She retired. And you were in when Elaine was in 2000. So we've had the band together for how long?
Oh, yeah, well, for sure.
Yeah, and that's so good. That makes it easier for me because it's not easy being a band leader. I've discussed this with a few other people and they said, you know, I know what you go through because, you know, you try to keep everything. You only get what they call a tight band when you stay together. But when you start leaving and all that, makes it harder.
Oh, for sure.
And it's harder on me. But sometimes you have to do the choices that you have to do. I guess I never thought of it as being the leader. I just wanted a lot of good followers. I wanted good band members, so they'd make me sound better.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah,
and you're putting on you're really selling a product too. Like, see, you want to try to make sure
you want to make sure people want to hear you.
Yeah,
and that's it. And we do have a lot of dedicated followers.
One thing neat about you too is you make people welcome. The people come up to sing. Some nights we've had two or three four people onto the stage, and somehow we were able to do the song. Like, even if we don't know it, we're by the halfway through the first verse, we're already kind of fumbling our way through it, and by the end it sounds pretty good.
That's right. I think a lot of that stems from the fact that we did talent shows.
Yeah.
So we were always backing up people. And I still, even with my brother and I, because we've done it so many years, and you know yourself, you're always backing up people too and hearing different people. So I think that's part of it. And I love, you got somebody out there who wants to sing, you have like Marilyn and Hubert and Elmer.
Elmer so Brown. People, yeah.
Yeah, and they come up, and I love that.
Yep.
If somebody's out there and can play, that makes us, to me, that gives you variety.
Oh, yeah.
So I always enjoyed that.
Yeah, and some people might drive for a full hour to get there.
That's right.
Yeah, so give them a couple of minutes to.
I don't want to be the kind who hesitates, be too shy, way too late. I don't care what they say other lovers do, I just want to dance with you. Oh, I got a feeling that you have a heart like mine. So let it show, let it shine. If we have a chance to make one heart of two, I just wanna dance with you. I wanna dance with you. Throw you all around the floor. That's what they intended dancing for. I just wanna dance with you. Hold you in my arms once more. That's what they invented dancing for. I just wanna dance with you. yes, I did. Ain't it true? You won't be embarrassed by the things I do. I just wanna dance with you. Oh, the boys are playing pretty and the girls are too. So am I, so are you. If this was a movie, we'd be right on cue. I just wanna dance with you. I wanna dance with you. Throw you all around the floor. That's what they intended dancing for. I just wanna dance with you. I wanna dance with you. Hold you in my arms once more. That's what they invented dancing for. I just wanna dance with you. I just wanna dance with you. I just wanna dance with you.
One of the ladies that is a faithful follower of us came up to Stratford to the Legion. And I think around New Hamburg, she said, "Do you know how much it cost me to come to this dance tonight? $250-some, I think." I said, "Pardon?" She said, "I got a speeding ticket just near New Hamburg." So it was quite cute. She said, "It's the first one I've ever had."
Yeah.
And she's over 70. She said, "First ticket I've ever had." And she said, like he said, "You know how fast you're going, or you know what the speed limit is?" She said, "It's 100, isn't it?" He said, "No, it's not 100. But anyway, it was quite cute when she told us that story.
Oh, yeah. So, no, but yeah, the people from Norwich will drive all the way to New Hamburg or Stratford, which is a long drive.
That's right. And Broadhagen.
All the way to, yeah, and snowstorms. Like
they're faithful followers.
Yeah, for sure.
These are the people that I really, as they say, when you go down and talk with them and...
Oh, yeah.
And you get to know them personally, and that's, you know, they're friends. Yeah. They turn out being your friends.
Oh, yeah. I remember one story you told about, I think you were playing in Wellesley, and all of a sudden you open the doors, and it's a snowstorm, and you guys are all sleeping on tables or something.
Yes, we did. Gary Moser was with us. Yeah. I think he was actually playing, too, and I don't know, we were all playing, and it got so bad, so we just... I just got up on the tables and slept on the tables. We couldn't go anywhere.
No.
We had a local say to us he would keep us for the night, but we partied in the hall for quite a while with no hydro.
Oh, really?
So,
okay. Just keep the bar open?
Yeah, the bar was still open. So okay. No, we did. That's true. That was a crazy night. It really was. And then the next day when we followed Gary Moser home, he hit the snowbank and we almost went with him.
Oh, wow.
All right, the following is a message from Chris Arrett, who plays keyboards in Diane's band.
Back in about 1976 or 77, I was introduced to Diane's band, not her, but the band itself, at a junior farmer's dance in Tavistock. And then my dad and mom belonged to the Nith Valley Snow Riders, which was a club from New Hamburg, a snowmobile club, and they had booked Diane for several dances that they had. So I knew Diane through there, but not personally, until one day the phone rang, and it was Diane, and she said, "I understand that you play banjo." I said, "Yes, I try." And she says, "Would you please come out and play a few numbers for us at the Circle K Ranch in Uniondale?" And I said, "Sure." I said, "That'll be fun." I've never played with a band, so I was a bit nervous. Was fine until I got on stage, and Diane was to my left with her brand new Fender guitar, the same make and model as George Jones had. I was sitting there and getting ready to play, and Diane was to my left, and I dropped my banjo picks. So I bent down to pick them up, came back up with my banjo, and one of my keys scratched her new guitar. Yes, scratched her new guitar. That was very bad. And I thought, this lady is never going to call me again. So anyway, everything turned out fine. And I didn't hear from Diane till about 1989. So that's about 8 years later. She heard that I had played in a band with Barry Klein from Tavistock and understood that I played bass. So that was fine. She needed a bass player. So this was in 89, and we got to, I guess it was the Moose Lodge in Kitchener that we played at. So I filled in and it was fine. It went well. A little while later, she wondered if I could play keyboards. I guess what happened was she had a keyboard in her basement and I just went over and played a few hymns or something, just goofed around. She said, oh, you can play piano. I said, no, I can't really. Yes, you can. She says, let's get a keyboard and see if you can play. And I went, oh, geez, okay. So we got the keyboard going and I play the bass on the left hand and the lead on the right. And we had a few little gigs that we did. Eventually, I was in the band then with my keyboard and singing harmony too.
I think I have to write a book.
Yeah.
Because there's so many little things that happened and I can't quite think of them all.
Yeah.
Like the day I went to play for a 50th anniversary, and I have two Martin cases. I have a Martin guitar and then I have another case that they replaced it because it had a little bit of a gap in it. And so I stuck my old guitar, this guitar I had made for me, not electric, and I went to play a 50th anniversary at the Golf Steakhouse, and when I got there, I had the wrong guitar. I went into panic. I had to drive home and get it. Thank goodness it wasn't far away.
Yeah, you were still at local.
So that was just one little thing, and I forgot my guitar when I went to Maryhill to a talent show one night. And we did talk about the Guelph Reformatory, did we not?
I think a little bit. That's when you first met Elaine
and the Diva Sisters.
Yeah, so that goes way back then, right?
Yeah, that was back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And the Mercy Brothers were on. There was a chap that was at the Maryhill Knights of Columbus. He worked there. He got us in.
Okay.
That was quite the experience, playing there. When I went in first to see the place and walked through, and the guys are in their cells banging their cups on
them. Wow. Okay.
And it was kind of like, oh my, I felt like Johnny Cash in Folsom Prison. But anyway, no, it was an interesting time. So that's something not everybody has experienced to play in
it. I received a call prison. To do a thing at the women's prison. I thought it would be an amazing experience.
Yes, it
to
would.
To do that, just
it
entertain. Would. And but you, I think you have to do a bunch of screening. Like they probably make sure that you're the right
person. Well, back then, it wasn't near as restricted as it is now, I don't think. We didn't have, they knew us all, so.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, we didn't have to do any particular. We just went in, sat up, and everything. They just made sure that the prisoners were all guarded so they didn't break out.
And all the prisoners knew you from Maryhill or something?
Oh, yeah.
They were all regulars at the commercial?
Well, it was an interesting time, you know. At the time, I never thought, but now I think, oh, my goodness, I played in the prison.
But I bet that was a... must have been a great experience for them just to have live entertainment.
Oh, they were. But what happened was a few of them, I think when the Mercy Brothers were on, they started throwing jelly beans.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I found out then from the guy from Maryhill Knights of Columbus that they were cut right off of entertainment because that happened.
That's too bad. Okay.
And the guy that did it, he didn't end up in too good a shape either because they were all mad at him.
I bet.
So it just took one person to start that. You know how the riots would start in a prison. I didn't have any thrown up that I'm aware of, but I heard this after.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow. He said, yeah, it was quite a little brawl after you left.
I remember playing the Queens in Air. This is many years ago, and people were throwing asparagus at us. It must have been asparagus, probably the Barry's asparagus people or something.
There's a few asparagus places out by you.
Yeah, so that's probably...
that's probably where they came from.
That's funny.
Isn't that funny? I played that. I played the Queens as well.
Okay.
And then someone mentioned to me that when we played in Blair, there was someone played there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was Nashville. Somebody just mentioned that this person played there, and I don't remember that, but I played in Nicholson Tavern for quite a few years.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes, and I played Cambridge Legion, Preston Legion. So, that's why we were so busy. It was every weekend.
Okay.
I played in Preston Hotel on the main street.
Yep.
It's still there, right?
Okay.
And I played in Galt.
I used to play the Grand Hotel in Preston, but that's probably not the same... The Grand River, I think it's,
This one is right on a corner. I'm not sure what it was called. It might have been the Grand.
Yeah, but back then, there was bands playing seven nights a week, though, too, so...
I played downtown in the Waterloo Hotel.
Yeah.
There was a hotel right downtown, the City Hotel.
Yeah.
We were in there quite a few years ago. And we did play Stampede when it first opened.
Yeah.
Just the one in Kitchener.
Okay.
Yeah, we played a lot of local hotels. Played in Baden, New Hamburg. I played a schoolhouse in Baden, Club 64 or 84. I forget what it is.
Amazing. Yeah, there's so many more places to play. I guess before COVID times, like there's only a few places really to play. Like so many bars have closed down, like the place like the Blue Moon, or like I mentioned the Queens, like a lot of these small town places have just shut down.
I played the Blue Moon in the 70s, and I was back playing it in the 90s or the 2000s, yeah. Right? Like that's amazing. I played the Four Wall Super Variety Parties in the basement.
Okay, yeah.
And they were held at the Blue Moon. And when I think about it, boy, I've come around in a circle. I started in the Legions, and now I come around playing the Legions. Yeah. It's like a big circle.
Oh, yeah.
But I still like the Legions because they bring crowds that, like, they're very supportive. A lot of these people that come to the Legions, I'm happy to, I'm just glad that they're able to stay open. As I say, I'd really hope to get back with the band again because...
Well, it'll happen. Yeah. We just have to pray that eventually at some point.
That it lets up.
I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come.
Kansas City, okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to Kansas City now. Kansas City, here I come.
Kansas City, oh, Kansas City.
They got some single little fellas here, and I'm going to get me one. I'm going to be standing on a corner. I'd say 12th Street in Vine. Well, I'm going to be standing on a corner. I'd say 12th Street in Vine. And I Kansas City, baby, and a jug of Kansas City wine. But if I go to walk, I'm gonna get the news to say, I'm going to Kansas City now. Kansas City, here I go.
Kansas City, oh, Kansas City.
They got some singing little fellas there, and I'm gonna get me one. Standing on a corner, I said 12th Street and Vine. Well, I'm gonna be standing on a corner now. I said 12th Street and Vine. Yeah, with my Kansas City baby and a jug of Kansas City wine. Well, I might take a train, I might take a plane, but if I go to walk, I'm gonna get me just the same. I'm going to Kansas City now. Kansas City, here I go. They got some single little fellas here, and I'm gonna get me one. I gotta walk, I'm gonna get to just the same. I'm going to Kansas City now. Kansas City, here I come.
Kansas City, oh, Kansas City.
They got some single little fellas there, and I'm gonna get me one. Just one now. They got some single little fellas there, and I'm gonna get me one. Yeah.
And besides playing, my hobbies were golfing, ringette. And that's...
Oh, okay.
I played ringette for 15 years.
Really? Okay.
And I golfed for years.
Yeah.
I still like golfing, but I just don't get out. I don't golf.
Yeah.
But I still like that, too. So other than my music, that was my other interest in life.
Yeah, I didn't know you did ringette. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. 15 years with St. Clements. And,
wow, okay.
Yeah.
You must have played a few ringette dances, I'm sure, then.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Actually, we did play ringette dance. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
But we played hockey dances, I know that.
Yeah, oh, for sure. So were you like an enforcer type of ringette player?
Oh, no, I was I was defense and forward. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I think I played defense, and then I was like a right I don't even know what wing I played, but I played.
Yeah,
I had fun with it. I liked it. I loved it.
It's good to get.
Because I'm a big hockey fan too, and baseball.
I've watched Ringette a few times. I never spent enough time to understand how the players move, because it's definitely different than hockey. So.
Oh yeah, you can't take the ring over the line. And at that time, we had blue and red and white sticks.
Okay.
Forwards had white and the defense. Oh, really? We had. And I think the Red were defense or whatever, I'm not sure. But and some good friends that come out all the time, Mary and Larry, they were our coaches.
Okay.
And it was always, we always had fun with them.
Okay.
And Phyllis Dozman, she was with me and played. Phyllis, come out. And
that's
great. These are all friends that for years we've done things together. So
good for you.
Yeah, it was fun. And that's why I say your life is full. The years fly by.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe how... So you're working full time. You're playing. You're doing all these gigs, like 100 gigs a year, and then Ringette and.
Oh yeah.
You're probably never home.
Ringette was in the 90s.
Okay.
So it was later on, but I always wanted to. I wanted to play hockey. Oh, girls couldn't play hockey, right?
No.
And one time I remember the high school my brother was playing, and I wanted to play. They said, "We'll let you referee the game." So I refereed the high school hockey game.
Okay, that's okay. All
right. I knew enough about it, so.
Yeah.
No, I was busy, and I guess, you know, it was, that's why, as I say, life has gone by so quickly, but I've had lots of fun. I mean, we still have jams in the summertime with certain people and that sort of thing, too, so, but now with COVID, no, we haven't had a lot of...
Yeah, it's a real shame.
Yeah,
things have
too bad we can't have a drive-in somewhere and just have the band play, but people want to dance, that's the thing, we're more of a dance band, so... And that's they wouldn't want that happening.
Yep.
So we played a lot of Legions. Like, I wonder, like the Belmont Legion here in town, we've been playing lately. The New Hamburg Legion. We played Legion way down by Simcoe at one time.
Yeah, some of those, like Grand Bend Legions, they do really,
Stratford,
really well.
Yes.
The smaller town ones.
And some of them are really hurting now, starting to say, so they're more or less serving food and trying to make their money to keep it open. I'm telling you, my heart goes out to them, because I often think if we get back playing, we owe them, you know, for all the years we were there.
And then all the dances, like so many dances over the years, whether it's like Broadhagen, where you got your start in music.
Yes, and they've been so good to me, and we've sold out there nearly every dance we've had, right? There's been very few that we didn't have a sellout crowd. They put on such a good meal and everything. Everybody just loves going to those dances.
Yeah.
We come out from one of our dances, and the trailer was upside down in the parking lot. And I found out later it was one of my friends. They knew the person. And I just found out how many years ago I was at a place where he was there. And we started talking about it, and he started smiling. I said, "You did it, didn't you?" And he was right from Tavistock.
Okay.
He knew me, but it was no hurt or no harm done. It was just... It was kind of a shock when you go out and your trailer's upside down in the parking lots.
You've probably done many plowing matches over the years, right?
I started in 1968. There was a plowing match happening up near Seaforth or Godrich area, and it got rained out.
Oh, right.
It was a total mud fest.
Okay.
We couldn't even go because we couldn't get the trailer in. It was canceled. There was no playing. For anybody, that was worse than Mitchell, which was a mud fest.
Yeah.
So then after that, we had Mitchell in 2013. That was the 100th. Then we played 2016 in Harrison. And then we did 2017 in Walton.
Walton, that's the one I was with.
Yeah. And,
that was good.
Yes.
So these tents probably hold 2,000 people. Like, that was a big tent. And
yes.
It was full. I couldn't believe it.
Yes, we had good turnouts.
And that's actually kind of scary, because we're set up to play, and then everybody's sitting down and watching you.
I know.
It was different than a dance where people are talking amongst themselves and dancing.
Yeah, I'm always more comfortable when people are up dancing, but I always get a little nervous when they're sitting and looking at you, because you don't know, that you're just hoping you don't make a mistake.
That was intense, too.
Yeah. We drew that many in the tent, and the people that were playing out on the actual grounds, he said, "We're getting paid a lot more money," and they didn't have half the people.
Oh, really?
I said, "Well, you can pay me more.
Yeah.
I don't really care."
Okay.
We've had some good years, and we've had a lot of good years, and I'm grateful for that, because how many people can actually say they've been playing music for 53 years and still playing?
Yep. You're still alive to talk about it, too.
Yeah, I thought there was a cute joke on Facebook, and it was about these old men are coming in on their walkers to some kind of a performance at an auditorium, and the guy said, "Aren't you a little old for coming here?" And he said, "We're the band."
Okay, well,
I keep saying that's going to be us.
Yeah, well,
If we don't get back, we'll be going in walkers.
Yeah. Anyway, you just got to pray that everything kind of returns to normal.
Yes, and it will. It's time, that's all.
Yeah.
It's time that we weren't expecting to be.
Yeah.
I think we would have, you know, done our farewell tour if we, you know, if we were doing it. But this way, we were just cut right off.
Yeah.
You know, there was no even maybe a chance to go anywhere, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. We might have to stand behind a plastic and people have to look at us. I've seen that in a bar already. Yep. One of the ladies, Bev from the Blue Moon, was at a party in Kitchener here. And I said to her, is that plexiglass? The singers, lead singers, were standing behind a piece of plexiglass.
Yep.
And the drummer was also
had a
plexiglass in front of
him. Yeah, once people start getting those kind of things, the music could hopefully return.
Yes, it'll be the dancing that'll be the trick.
Yeah.
I asked one of my neighbors, how are they going to dance? He said, with walkers. We'll push each other around.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. It's all good and kind of sad, but you know what? We'll get back. And
sure.
I'm just grateful that I've got all the band members I have, and they're all hoping for the same thing.
Yeah, for sure.
That we don't just have to sit and record songs and put them on Facebook.
Yeah, well, it'll happen.
Yes, it will.
All right, well, thanks a lot for letting me interview you for the round two.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, because and I want to just tell you that people have complimented you on the way you do the interviews, and they really think this is a great thing. So you got to keep it up.
Yep.
So
okay, well, thanks again.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right.